Canadians have a pretty good grasp of science. That's according to a recent report from the Council of Canadian Academies. The panel commissioned a nationwide survey of just how Canadians relate to science. And compared to similar surveys in other countries, Canada ranked first in science literacy. 42% of Canadians are able to read and understand newspaper stories detailing scientific findings. We share a border, so why are Canadians so far ahead of the U.S. in understanding and appreciating science topics? John Miller is director of the International Center for the Advancement of Scientific Literacy at the University of Michigan. He was on the panel that produced this report. Welcome.
My pleasure to be here.
Well, give us a sense of the ways that your survey found that Canada kind of goes to the head of the class in terms of public knowledge and engagement in science.
Well, on the public knowledge side, the United States has had a very good position relative to other countries. We've been second only to Sweden until we did the Canadian survey. But the Canadians have a very strong interest in science. I think they've had a strong public encouragement of science. They have had, for many years, a very limited set of radio and television stations compared to the U.S., and they've had some really world-class science shows to get people interested in that. They also, in their big cities, have really excellent science museums, and so they've had a variety of things to sort of keep science in the public eye in some ways. I think the other thing that makes a difference is just culturally, Canada has not had a component of their population that are basically anti-science. We have about a third of our adult population that are conservative and fundamentalist who have a resistance to science. They reject many things scientific, starting with evolution and the Big Bang and many things thereafter. So that we have this division in our country. It's not a 50-50 division. I mean, it's probably only about a third of American adults are fundamentalists and conservatives and have some reservations about science.
But it's kind of baked into
It makes sometimes institutions a little more reluctant to do things because you're sensitive to the fact that, well, there's going to be these people who object to it. So even school boards sometimes tread lightly. They have to, by law, teach evolution as part of biology. The Supreme Court has said again and again, you cannot teach creationism as a part of science because it's a religious question, not a science question. But Canada's had none of that. They have been much more universal in their acceptance of science. They've had very few reservations about it. They have very small percentage of people who would be classified as a fundamentalist or conservative in that sense. So I think that there is a culture. In fact, the report is actually called Canada's Science Culture because what they're interested in is not just classroom instruction, but they're interested in sort of the cultural setting, newspapers, magazines, television, radio, museums, all of those kind of things.
And what does that accepting culture translate to in terms of the realities of life in Canada? For instance, does it translate to more research? Does it translate to more science-related jobs?
Well, it does relate to a government that has, by and large, been more supportive of scientific research than many other governments. I mean, there's no government on the planet that puts nearly as much money into scientific research as the United States. We do more biological research in the United States than the entire planet put together. So we have always invested very heavily. The Canadians simply don't have the resources to do that level of investment. But among other industrialized countries, they're very competitive with European countries in regard to the amount of money that they put into scientific research. The other interesting thing that I did not know until I was on this panel was that roughly half of their scientists in Canada today were born outside of Canada, which is very interesting. They have had a very long-standing policy of being open to immigration and particularly to people who are coming from countries where there are, you know, wars or oppression or other things. And they have been particularly smart about reaching out to scientists and engineers and people who come like that. So they have a very vigorous scientific community that's not just native-born and native-raised and native-educated, but they've really taken advantage of sort of the educational resources of the world because they have roughly half of their scientists who are immigrants, essentially.
And how would that
They're permanent residents now, of course.
Right, right.
But they came to Canada as immigrants.
And how does that compare to the percentage here in the States, would you say?
Oh, I think the United States is under 20%. It's low. I'd have to look up precisely,
yeah.
But it's not. The percentage of our current graduate population who are foreign students isn't half, but it's closer. It's getting closer to those numbers. But many of those students, in fact, do not stay here. They come here, they're educated, and they go home again, or they go to some other country. Canada has tended to draw people in, oftentimes after they've been educated somewhere, so that they're not bringing them to Canada necessarily to be educated. They're taking advantage of people who are educated,
mm-hmm.
who for various reasons do not want to be in the country where they happen to be at that time. And so they've been very receptive to that. So I think, you know, in terms of the advantage of a country to be open to immigration, they're a good example. One of the benefits of that is they have a much more vigorous, diverse, anyway, scientific community than many other countries have.
Well, back to what you found about the public and,
yes.
and their understanding, their engagement, their willingness to read a scientific story in the paper and kind of grasp it. And so we're not talking about
yeah.
students. We're talking about people after their education
right.
ended. How would having that here in Michigan, for instance, how might that change the climate for scientists?
It generally, what it would do is it would encourage more students, probably, to think of science as a kind of a career that would be beneficial to them that wouldn't be contentious in some fashion. It would mean that more of their parents and family would be very supportive of that choice and not worrisome about it in some fashion. I think it means that industries and other people would be more interested in doing research and in sharing what they do with the public in various ways. There's a lot of festivals and outreach activity that go on in Canada through the science institutions. Their scientific or science-based museums are often huge institutions with great programs tied into Canadian broadcasting, Canadian television, into all of the different kinds of media and things that they have. And in the summers particularly and other times, they have some very interesting festivals where people come together and have celebrations and displays and things like that. I think it just leads to a more appreciative atmosphere. People then can say, this is really something that's important. And I think now, especially in the last decade or two, the Canadians have been well ahead of the United States in understanding the threat of climate change. And they see this as a real threat because, I mean, obviously they have, in some ways, they will actually benefit from climate change because a lot more of their land will turn out to be arable than ever before,
mm-hmm.
and a lot less will be frozen. But I think that they also value the frozen northern aspects of their society and the culture, and they also recognize for the good of the planet that all that ice that sits on the north end of Canada is probably a good thing for the planet. And so they're very worried about these changes, and they can see changes in wildlife. They can see changes in their indigenous communities. So I think they have been sensitive to that, and they also understand that some of the solutions could be scientific. That is, that at least we know how to measure things better scientifically than we did before.
And it can translate into personal action where people
yes.
might be more willing because they're accepting of it to change
yes.
their behaviors.
Yes, right. Yes. I think it makes them a more green consumer-oriented thing. You see many more advertisements in the Canadian media for environmentally friendly this and environmentally friendly that and so forth. So I think it makes a different culture in that regard. And I think just in general, it makes for a certain amount of public support and not in a going out and rallying kind of way, but just an acceptance and support that's sort of always there. It's not questionable as much. So that when something like, say, stem cell research comes along, the Canadians embraced that very early. They've invested in it not nearly as much as they would have if they had the U.S. resources. But they have invested in it. They've been very receptive to it. And they say, well, let's see what it does. You know, let's figure this out. You know, maybe it will be useful. They don't see this as so much of a moral or ethical question.
Interesting finding. Were you surprised by this finding, John?
A little bit. You know, I've been in Canada a lot. And in fact, I've been interviewed a lot on Quirks and Quarks, which, you know, is their big science radio show, which they do over the years. And they've had very excellent people in that whole broadcast journalism. So I know they've had a really strong public interest in science. When we would do papers and studies in the United States, you know, you get a certain number of domestic radio and television stations and people who cover you. But on the other hand, we got a lot of Canadian coverage over the years just because we were sort of their neighbors. And they, oh, yes, well. there's an interesting story in the U.S. on science, and so they would cover that. So I have done a lot of conversations with the Canadians on both television. They have a science discussion programs, almost like not quite like Meet the Press, but they have these panel discussions of science on various topics and to bring people together. And so,
don't see that a lot here in the States on this side
that.
Of the border.
Nope.
John Miller, director of the International Center for the Advancement of Scientific Literacy at the University of Michigan, helping us answer the question, is Canada a nation of science geeks? Thank you so much for talking with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.